Now, the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Wind Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Two down in the ninth, 1-0 Toronto.
Can't think of anything else but a fastball right here, right? If Jackie slashed this thing or something, see ya.
He rings him up, and that is strike three. Bradley is hot, but that's it. 1-0 the final. The Red Sox fall, and they wound up losing 3 out of 4 here to the Toronto Blue Jays.
It's hard to swallow a 1-0 game. They lose 3 out of 4 in Toronto.
Another one-run game. Red Sox are 3-5 this season in one-run games. It is on to Baltimore. Final score again. Toronto 1. The Red Sox nothing.
Well, there you go. That's how it ended today in Toronto. North of the border, Red Sox lose 1-0. They drop 3 out of 4 to the Blue Jays. They go 2-5 so far in these two series. 2-5 on this trip. These two series are complete. 2-5 on the trip so far to Tampa Bay and Toronto. Two of your chief competitors in the American League. I don't know what more I can tell you than that. You play 7 games against your two chief competitors on the road. You go 2-5. Am I supposed to put a tuxedo on a pig with that one? 617-779-0985 is your number. We have an abbreviated baseball hour. We'll take your calls immediately. Immediately, and then we're off at 6:30. We'll turn it over to Judd Surratt and Bob Beers of Bruins pregame. They'll take up until 7 o'clock. Who are the Bruins playing tonight? Murray, I should know this.
Buffalo.
Buffalo playing the Sabres tonight over at the Garden. You can hear the game right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub as the Bruins approach the end of their regular season. Again, 617-779-0985. So, two things. First of all, Felger asked me at the beginning of the show today, the beginning of Felger and Maz. He said, you know, what's your takeaway from last night's game with the Red Sox? I said, I will start to believe when I start seeing consistent performance. Okay, then they went out and lost today. So that should tell you plenty. Until they break out of this and get some sort of consistent performance, I have a hard time, again, putting a tuxedo on a pig and giving you any sort of rosy outlook because I just don't see the consistency right now, offensively or otherwise. That's number one. Number two, for those of you who want Garrett Whitlock as a starting pitcher, for those of you who are out there, because I know everybody is still married to the old model. And what I would tell you is, for those of you who think that Garrett Whitlock should be a starter, he started 2 games on this trip and you lost them both. Now, it's easy to sit here and say, well, the Red Sox didn't hit. And they didn't. Whitlock started the game they got no hit in Tampa Bay. He started today and they finished with 4 hits, but they got shut out. So in both games that Whitlock pitched, the Red Sox got shut out for 9 innings. Okay, think of it in those terms. However, he pitched 4 innings in the Tampa game, which means he pitched less than half the game and had no, at the end of the game, was unavailable when the game was decided. And then he pitched 3 innings today and again was unavailable when the game was effectively decided. Now, look, the run that was scored against Whitlock. It was unearned. So he was in the game. I suppose you could say he technically was in the game when it was decided. But again, 0 earned runs. It still blows me away that there are those of you out there who think that a starting pitcher in the current landscape of baseball is worth more than a reliever. It blows me away that some of you think that, because I don't. I used to. But the fact is that even if Whitlock had pitched well today, he was going to go a max of, what, 5? You're just not going to get it. What did Walker go last night? 4 innings? Michael Walker, who has pitched well, went 4 innings last night. Did he win the game for the Red Sox, or did they win it with their bullpen and then open it up late? Because to me, it's the second thing. So I got a bunch of thoughts as it pertains to the offense, specifically runners in scoring position, 2 outs. How do you fare in those situations? We'll get to that. Also, we were on the air today during the show, as many of you know. I would love for someone to explain to me what the hell was going on with the whole plate umpire? I think it was Larry Vanover behind the plate today.
Thank you, because there's a couple of times, again, it's tough when we're on, Maz. I looked up. There was clear strikes being thrown right down the pipe And he's calling balls.
So, and I'll tell you this too,
it's
Murray.
Because it's fixed.
Okay, so it wasn't just the balls and strikes, and the balls and strikes were bad. I want that's part of the discussion. Absolutely. I think there were also two or three times at least that I looked up and saw it, which means it might have been more. Garrett Whitlock had to, you know, the umpire called time while Whitlock was in his delivery.
Yeah.
And so I think the umpire wasn't ready for Whitlock to pitch. I don't think it was the batter calling time. I think Whitlock worked so fast, the ump wasn't ready. And so that kind of blew me away. I want someone to call and explain that to me because, again, we didn't have the audio up. We were on the air. So I had a hard time following it. But I saw him throw his arms up a couple of times to call timeout. And Whitlock did not look happy about it. So 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls right away. Brian's in Swampscott. Brian, go ahead.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. What's up, Murray?
Hey.
This, boy, I mean, all these moves so far are backfiring, aren't they? You know, it's even beyond the pitching. I mean, they go against their own philosophy so many times. If they're telling you that starting pitching doesn't mean anything, and that's why they're not going to sign any more stars, and they're going to tell you that the end of the game is more important, then why are you putting your best reliever at the beginning of the game? Have Jake Diekman start these games. Because if it's going to be a one-run game, and the guy's going to be lights out at the beginning, and then at the end you've got a guy that's going to give up two or three runs, I'd rather give up two or three runs in the first three innings and have my best guy available at the end. You know, Travis Shaw, 0-17.
Yeah, Brian, so I'm going to stop you there. Brian, I'm going to stop you there because I don't want to get to Travis Shaw yet. Let's stick with the pitching thing first. Okay, I agree. I would rather have Whitlock available in the middle and at the end of the game. Now, that's only half of the equation in this thing so far because the fact is that they didn't score today. And this has been the one recurring thing I think that we can all agree on. If they don't hit, it's not going to matter. So we keep saying they're going to hit. And I would just say when. When? Like at some point soon? But the idea of starting Whitlock, to me, again, I don't disagree with your assessment, is inconsistent. So the idea is that Whitlock's worth more in the bullpen. But then Tanner Houck goes down, they take Whitlock out of the bullpen. I think the whole point with assessing Whitlock today is, could Whitlock have helped you win another game on the trip that you didn't win if he were available out of the bullpen? That's really the story. They went 2-5 in these games. Today was a big one. If you win this game, you come out of it 3-4 in Tampa and Toronto, splitting with the Blue Jays. Given the way they've played, not that bad. You almost salvage it going into Baltimore. Now you got to sweep the Orioles just to go 500 on the trip. Jared's in Boston. Jared, go.
Hey, Tony. Just the situation at first base. I know Shaw obviously isn't he's really not a major league caliber player anymore. And I saw McCarthy tweeting today that he wants Dahlbeck sent down because it really does him no good sitting on the bench. But, I mean, if they don't want to bring up Cassis, what are their other options at this point? And I just want to say enjoy the nice weather this weekend in Baltimore. Thank you.
Okay, so what are their other options? I don't know. I don't know if they have any. I mean, it's Shaw, so they don't really have a backup first baseman. Dahlbeck's not playing well, and I don't think Cassis is ready. I don't think they want to bring him up yet. I don't think they want to do it for service time reasons. I don't think they want to do it developmentally. So I can give you multiple reasons, but I personally would not bring Cassis up yet.
But Shaw is their DH today. It's just flat out embarrassing. And I know there's something going on with J.D. Martinez and this, what, his abs or something? Is this the same thing? Is this what flared up today?
He's got some sort of, oblique. It's a core muscle issue, adductor, right? So again, Martinez sounds like he's ailing. They think he might be able to play at least some this weekend. Bogart's got the day off. I know people are going to bitch about that. And at this stage, I can't blame them. But I also know six games on the road on turf, day game after night game. He has been your hottest hitter. He had four hits last night. Why would you take him out? And I would say, well, you do have to build in breaks for players. Okay, so is the issue really that Bogarts didn't play, or is it more that nobody else hits? What is really the bigger issue? Nixon Somerset, go.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking the call again. One, I just want to touch on your pitching thing with Whitlock starting today. What in the hell are the Red Sox doing taking their best reliever, their like four-inning closer, whatever the hell they wanted to call him, and starting him? That is just dumb. And the main things I really wanted to touch on were, why are they dicking around Bogaerts and Devers, two guys who have, like, been the cornerstone of the franchise for God knows how long? So, like, I've grown up watching these guys as a kid, as a teenager.
So, Nick, I appreciate that. Yeah, again, I don't want to get into how long people have been watching them. We have a short show tonight. So here's what I would tell you. I'm not going to get in the long-term issue with Bogaerts and Devers. We all know the score there. Why is Whitlock starting instead of relieving? Good question. Again, he started two games. They lost him both, and as a result, he wasn't able to pitch in the other five out of the bullpen. Could you have won some of those other games that you lost if you had had him available? I would think so. I think you would have won the other night. You're up 5-2, and Diekman had to close. If Whitlock were available in that game, I think you win it. John's in Worcester. Quickly, John.
Yeah, so first of all, three games you win with Whitlock is against the Rays, even with that error on Story, you're still winning that game with Whitlock. He's not giving that up to Bichette, the grandson. And with Diekman, the 5-2 game, he's definitely not blowing that. Also, I mean, how many home runs did the Red Sox hit? Like, the same amount as Rizzo this year? I'll hang up on myself.
Yeah, so listen, this is another issue. They don't hit the ball out of the ballpark. What do they have, two home runs in their last 11 games or something like that? So we can blame the baseball. You can blame whatever you want. Other teams are hitting home runs. The Red Sox aren't. So, and this speaks to the lineup. So I want to get to Bobby Dalbec, because the Red Sox actually had a chance to tie this game late today. Dalbec had the key at bat. He's an easy target right now. So we'll dig in on Dalbec. I see a couple of you on the line, want to talk about him. We'll get to that. But the problem is bigger than Bobby Dalbec, too. Wait till you hear the stat I'm going to give you when we come back. And that was going into today. That's next on the baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Go back to June of 19. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays have gone 24-24 against each other. Not going to see each other for a while, not until the end of June. After this one, Roy will another play, and it gets through him. Gurriel is going to be safe. He'll hold it first. And a misplay by Arroyo at short.
Yeah, he had it all lined up. He was going to throw him out, just didn't catch the ball. Kind of fooled him a little bit. Kirk, he's a little contact guy. He doesn't air it out.
He is 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position. In the left for a base hit. Here comes Gurriel, and he's going to score to get him on the board. So enough of that 0 for 11.
Yeah, go figure. 0-2 pitch, breaking ball.
And 1-0 Toronto.
Boy, he looked bad on the first two pitches, and then he gets behind 0-2 and gets a breaking ball and turns on it.
Remember, Gurriel's the guy reached on the error. So that comes back to haunt the Red Sox. 1-0.
It's the only run of the game. This is how it's going for the Red Sox. Bogart sits, Arroyo plays short. He makes an error, leads to an unearned run. And another sort of truth of the game, you can't hide bad defense. The ball will find you. Christian Arroyo plays in right field in Detroit, has a bad day, Rich Hill loses. Christian Arroyo plays right field in Yankee Stadium early on, the ball finds him. So you can try to hide guys, but more often than not, the ball's going to find him. It's going to find him in key spots. So that's part of it when you're playing poorly and you don't have a complete roster, which is also part of the issue. This is what's going to happen. You're going to be in spots and you make mistakes, and it costs you. So Trevor Story is a better shortstop, but he probably wants to stay at second. My guess is the Red Sox don't want to introduce that controversy either. What if Story goes over to play shortstop better than Bogaerts does? So he's going to stay at second base. They don't want to start yanking him around either. But as a result, I don't think Araúz is with the team, Jimmy Stewart, right? Didn't Araúz, wasn't he one of the guys that tested positive for COVID?
That was last week, though.
I mean, so I don't know. Maybe he's not with him anymore, but Araúz would be a better candidate to play shortstop than Arroyo, if you ask me.
So wait a minute. Going back to what you just said about Trevor Story, because I hadn't thought about this. Because of what's going on, and the speculation is that they brought him in because eventually they're going to move on from Xander Bogaerts, which I believe. Do you think they won't play him at short at all this season, just so that won't like drum up controversy?
Cora was asked about it in spring training. It says, look, sometimes when a guy changes position, he just likes to stay over there. So I think he said he was going to talk to Story at some point. But it has to factor in on some level, Murray, right? What if you put him over there when Bogaerts doesn't play and he's good? Then people are going to say, why don't you put Story over there all the time? So then it becomes a thing.
I suppose.
And they don't want. The other thing is they are still negotiating with Bogaerts. So they don't want to mess with that either. Like on the chance that they want to keep Bogaerts, what are they going to do, kick him out of shortstop?
But if there's a day off for Bogaerts and there's a real defensive deficiency there, you know what I'm saying? Like this, that
I agree.
If that's going to cost them games, it's just stupid, just because they don't want to like deal with blowback.
Can you guys just check for me quickly and see if Araúz is on the roster?
Yeah, hold on.
I would like to know that. And I should know it already, but I don't. So shame on me for that. But again, that's all part of it. Here's the other part of it. Do you know where the Red Sox rank? And I'm asking the listeners now. Where do you think they rank in batting average, or let me rephrase, OPS, which is a combination of average on base, you know, it's on base and slugging, as you know. Where do you think they rank in OPS with two outs and men in scoring position in all of baseball?
Araúz is on it. He's on the injured list. Says 10 days.
Okay, 30 teams, 29th. They rank 29th with two outs and runners in scoring position. They had three at-bats with two outs and runners in scoring position today. They went 0 for 3. Bobby Dalbec had two of them, including one in the sixth and one in the seventh, I think. I might have that wrong. It might have been the fifth and the sixth, but you get the idea. And they can't get runners home. Two outs and runners in scoring position is the equivalent of third down in Major League Baseball. That's what it is. Those are the plays that decide whether you stay on the field or get off. And the Red Sox, second worst in all of baseball in those spots. So, first base, put it on the list. Carl is on the Cape. Carl, go.
Coney, I can't believe I'm hearing myself say this, but guess what? Get your Anthony Rizzo jersey back out. You know why? Because Bobby Dalbec is hitting .150, and Travis Shaw is 0-for-19 for the season. This is ridiculous. I can't believe how bad first base is hurting this team. So it's ridiculous. It's horrible.
Yeah, so, Carl, listen, thank you for the call. It was the same thing last year. They got Schwarber, and Schwarber hit, and everyone was okay with it, but the defense wasn't good when Schwarber was there. And Dalbec is there, in theory, more for his bat than his glove, but he's not inning. His defense has improved. I don't want to completely dump on the guy. Okay, his defense has improved, but it's still his defense isn't so good that you can overlook the absence of offense. Sully's in Charlestown. Sully, go.
I actually want to dump on him, Tony. Real quick, I haven't talked to you in a while. I just want to say congrats on your new gig. Well-deserved. Murray, what's up?
Hey.
With Dalbec, though, honestly, it's just he has no hitter's IQ. His calling card is his power, and he don't know how to work a count. If there's a guy on second, hypothetically, no outs, instead of, you know, a smart person would try to get the runner over, hitting it to the second baseman, this idiot swinging for the fences like he's robbed there. He sucks. And I'm just done with the Bobby Dalbec experience. He sucks. That's it. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so Sully, you're not alone. But again, I would tell you, is that a Dalbec problem or is that a roster building problem? Because I look at that and say, Dalbec played well at the end of last season. And a lot of us at the time said, ooh, it's a good time to trade him. Stock went up. You got Cassis coming. You can trade Dalbec, maybe get some pitching for him or put him together with someone else, pair him with Hunter Renfroe, maybe get some pitching. I don't know. I'm just trying to throw ideas out there. But pair Dalbec with someone or move Dalbec, get yourself a pitcher, go sign Rizzo for 2 years and $32 million, which is what he signed with for the Yankees. Instead, you're waiting for Cassis with a guy playing first who's not giving you much right now. And by the way, the whole bottom of the lineup stinks. They're not getting anything out of the bottom of the lineup right now. And when I say stinks, if they turn around and play, obviously they won't stink. But right now, they're getting zero. Anthony's in Jersey. Go.
Hey, Maz, how are you, man?
Good.
I just Just a couple of things about the Dolbach experiment. It really is over, and I'm not going to just dump specifically on him. I felt the same way about him last year, and he does still have poor footwork at first. And you know, Travis Shaw has been abysmal. You know, that kid Fitzgerald, you know, he's not only just a nice story, but he can rake. And he can play first, he can play second, he can play the outfield. Why not, since Kiam's not going to bring up Cassis, why not bring up the kid Fitzgerald? Because he's not going to make a trade either. So we're stuck with these two guys, and I believe if they let Shore go early, they don't have to even pay. I know that's up in Bloom's he's going to love that idea.
Okay,
bring up the kid Fitzgerald. Just some injection of some blood instead of some of all the stiffs that they've been trying to recycle.
Okay, so I don't know. You said let who go early? I missed that. I didn't pick that up.
Yeah, I didn't hear him.
So when I saw Fitzgerald play, he was playing a bunch of different positions. He feels like the kind of guy to me that doesn't have a position. He's probably a DH. But that said, he is hitting right now, or he has been hitting in the early part of the year. I haven't checked his numbers in the last couple of days, and I would tell you at this stage, I'll take anyone who can hit. I'll take anyone who can hit. So I do wonder whether at some point here soon they're going to have to make a move. They're going to have to do something. They're getting no offensive catcher. They're getting no offensive first base. They're getting no offense in right field. And let's not leave out second base. Okay, again, Trevor Story hasn't given him much. Let's not leave him out. Bob's in Methuen. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony. I think what's going on here is Bloom is to blame for this because he has spent a lot of time dumpster diving, and he just wants to have a hit every now and then, take the credit for it. But how many of these guys have actually panned out that he's gone dumpster diving for? Not many.
Okay, so yeah, look, Bob, you're not wrong. I would tell you that, you know, Garrett Whitlock worked out. Hunter Renfroe worked out. If you call that dumpster diving, that was a cheap contract. But that's what's going to happen when you go for those kinds of players. The hit rate is going to be, you know, less than 50%, but the ones you hit on, you'll get good return on. So I'm okay with the dumpster diving part of it, as long as it is done in tandem with some bigger moves. You want a dumpster dive in the bullpen, dumpster dive in the bullpen, no problem. But you can't dumpster dive in right field, first base. Like, you know, these are positions on the field where as a big market team, you should have representative talent on the field. Right now, they don't. How do you fix it? I don't know. You're in pretty deep with this roster. Murray, Bruins, no headlines here or no?
No, Bruins Sabres coming up.
Okay, so no Judd headlines. Yep, Judd and Bob next. Bruins pregame. They drop the puck just after 7. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.